This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Merkel Media.
No, I don't think you're going to retire driving a truck.
Man, I actually do.
I'm having a hard time believing it myself.
I honestly do. Unless if you want to. That's the caveat. If you want to stay in this. Because I don't, no matter what we do, no matter what happens with automation, there is no way those trucks are going to back into a company and the customer is going to open that door, take their own freight off.
You're right.
There's going to be city drivers all the time. There's always going to be the delivery guy. That's just the way it's going to be.
That's what I'm thinking. You're shaking your head no.
You're right. The customers won't unload the truck.
Exactly.
The robots will.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of you.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, we're going hodge, and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkel.
And I'm still Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with us from the road on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Dad, tell them about the voicemail line.
Yeah, we got a voicemail line. If you got a short story, 5 or 10 minutes long, just keep it short. Call 515-585-6375. That's 515-585-MERK. For those who are number impaired, they can use the letters MERK.
Yeah. Also, friends, buy us a coffee. Dad, tell them about that, by the way.
buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. You can buy us a coffee. It's like a virtual tip jar.
Yep.
There you go. That's the word. It's a virtual tip jar for the show.
So keep us caffeinated. buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane.
Keep that drum of coffee filled.
Keep it filled. We got my friend here, Jake, in studio. Jake, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm good, man. So you are over here laughing and stuff. Are you using the Manscaped?
I haven't tried the Manscaped yet, no.
Got to get on it, man.
All right.
I'm telling you, man.
Great product.
It's life-changing. And your wife will like it, too. By the way, congratulations on the newlyweds over here, right?
Thank you. Yeah. That was September.
Yeah.
Wow. That is recent.
I mean, you know.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. We've been together 7 years, so we're not new and exciting. I just did what I should have done, you know, 6 years ago.
It's all right. It's cool.
Took a little
bit. Joined the rest of us, you know.
Yeah.
Misery loves company. Oh, don't let your wife hear that.
She's gonna, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
When you came in the house, I saw the ring on the finger. I was like, wow, he looks different with the ring on. It changes the whole look of a guy.
Yeah, this thing. It's funny because it's already beat up and gouged and everything else. I got to learn to, I guess, I don't know, take it off when I'm in the garage.
It's the beauty of it. You know, it's the wear and tear of life.
When I
on you and your marriage.
when I used to work at the car garage, I would take my ring off, and then a lot of times I'd forget to put it back on, and I'd leave it in the garage.
Yep.
And it got to the point where I just would leave it in the garage all the time. I just never wore my ring. And my wife started getting mad about that.
Yep, I've already done that. Yeah,
I learned that lesson early on. I was installing security systems when I was younger, long time ago, and I caught my ring on a ladder rack as I was stepping off the bumper. My finger stayed hooked to the ladder rack, and I stepped down to the ground.
Yeah.
And needless to say, I didn't reach the ground.
So yeah, I've heard the stories already. Yeah, so
I learned to take it off when I was doing stuff.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. But I wear the rubber rings now. And now I'm actually thinking about just scrapping this and just getting like her initials tattooed on my
really?
Finger. Yeah.
Yeah.
She hates tattoos, so I don't have any. But I think my open door to the tattoo world is her initials on my finger, my kids' names and birthdays on my forearms.
Right.
And then we just grow from there.
That way it's not about you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's opening the door. I get it. Yep.
Yeah. So I've been, because I mean, I was planning on getting my first tattoo when I was like 18, and I met my wife that summer and just never got a tattoo. Just
never happened. Well, yeah. I gave it a guy. Remember?
What?
The guy, the tattoo artist that I've been
to. Oh, yeah. He's up there in Boyertown, right?
Boyertown, Gilbertsville, yeah. Gilbertsville, yep.
Yeah.
But I gave you his name. I'm like, oh, wow, Tony's... Tony's going to do it, huh?
And yeah.
Not yet, huh?
You know, here's the thing. It's not something that I need to get done. And it's just like one of those things where it's like, you think about it and you're just like, I don't.
Well, I'm kind of at the point now where I wish I didn't have anything. So you don't want to do that.
Really?
You know, I mean, I don't wish I didn't have anything. Just some of the things I have. Probably got to get reworked here, and I just been putting that off. You know, it's just a cliche. Make sure you get what you want. It's going to be on there the rest of your life, and then you don't.
Right.
And you look at it years later, and you're like, "What the hell?
What was I thinking?"
So yeah, it can be fixed. The right guy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't a tattoo show though. So
well, no, but talk about whatever.
The truck driver's life.
You got a truck tattooed on your chest?
No, but you know your outro song. That I hooked you up with, Voodoo Swing.
To
keep on rolling, got a tattooed on my chest.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I might get keep on rolling on my chest.
Really?
Just for the song.
See,
I just got done saying I didn't want anything. Yeah. Now I'm telling you about my next one.
He's like,
it's addictive, isn't it?
You know, I got these regrets with my tattoos, but I'm going to get tattooed and keep on rolling across my chest just for the song.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's an ambiguous one, though. At least you're not going to get in trouble with that one. You know, there's no real, you know.
So you started driving at Pitt, Ohio when you were 17 years old.
Well, I was working
there. Working there at 17.
Yeah. Yep.
Started driving. did you plan on doing driving, or was it like a stopgap for you where you're just like, I'll just work here for a little bit, make some good money?
The second one. Yeah, this was just my temporary job after high school until I figure out what I'm going to do. So now I'm 32 and... I guess I'm doing it, huh?
I guess you're doing it, yeah.
I guess this is it.
That's usually what happens with most of us. It wasn't our plan.
But right. But no, I mean, just being hired at 17 as a dock worker, I mean, that was new and exciting in itself. You know, I went from making $6 an hour at a bowling alley to I think I started there at like 14, you know? I'm a teenager, still living at home, making $14 an hour.
Yeah.
I'm the only one of my friends that had money. And it's like, well, you can make more if you drive. So, and plus I came from, I guess I'm third generation truck driver.
Wow.
I guess I was just supposed to drive a truck. I don't know. Yeah. So,
makes sense.
Yeah.
It's in the blood. Can we get it out?
So, 17, you go into Pitt, Ohio. Your dad was working there at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yep. He was doing it part-time.
Yep.
You go in there, you start working on the dock, loading trucks, unloading stuff. At what point, though, I mean, was it like almost right away you started thinking about the day you were going to start driving there? Or like, was there, because I know, I remember when you started driving truck. I mean, when I got hired, you were still on the dock.
Right.
So there was a good amount of time that you were just on the dock working.
Right.
At what point did you decide to start driving?
Probably when... It's you know, 10 o'clock at night, 10 p.m., and it's January, February, it's 10 degrees out, and I'm getting my ass up to go to work and work on a dock all night long, all morning long, in 10 degrees. Yeah. I'm thinking, okay, maybe this driving thing won't be too bad. Turn the heat on.
I hear these trucks have heat.
Day shift, you know, yeah. So, you know, somewhere in the 24, 23 range. Yeah, it kind of clicked.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. I had enough of the dock crap, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Don't blame you.
I tell you what, I sucked at the dock stuff. Like I did that 1 week like I had to. Everybody gets hired. You have to do that 1 week.
Right.
But my God, like, don't ask me to find anything on that dock. I think Jeremy, he kind of gathered that after a while, because like he was just like, because he would load my trailer. And it was just like,
well, eventually, if you stand there long enough and look stupid, they're just going to kind of let you stand there like, all right, here he comes. Just keep him over there by the pole.
Right.
We'll just load him up and get him the hell out of here. So in all fairness, you're you know, that probably worked for you.
It worked great.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. It worked great. I mean, that was just the thing. I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing out here. So I just walk around and I'd like make laps and around the dock, and eventually I'd start seeing stuff going in my trailer. I'm like, oh, that's right. Nice.
Yep.
And then it started, they took pity. Yeah, it started getting to a point where I got a routine where it's like I come in, I go out, get my truck, warm it up, you know, shine the tires up nice, fuel it.
Well, you're shining tires.
Anything to stay off the dock.
Easy work.
I was like, you know, wiping windows down, then you hook up, and then all of a sudden, oh, I got a text message. Let me see what this is. And start, you know, and then next thing you know, you feel the truck shaking. Like, oh, I guess I should go in and close my trailer door. It seems like it's loaded. So, I was absolutely awful. And there just seemed like, I guess from the outside looking at somebody who's not on the dock, it just looked like it was absolute chaos. I was like, this freaking looks like there's no order to this at all.
If you don't know anything about anything, just looking out there, it's like, well, how the hell do they know what to put on what? You know, yeah, it's, and especially on the busy summer days when the dock's blown out and you can't even fit a forklift down the aisle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, when I went in to do the dock for a whole week, my first week there, I was with Larry, the straight truck loader. And I kept on saying what the whole night, because I thought he was talking to me, but he was talking to himself.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd be like, hey, Tone, go find this something for, you know, Children's Hospital. And I'd just be like, okay, Larry. And I'd just go off and I'd start looking, and right. I'd just be out there walking around for a couple hours.
So that guy, we used to call, his nickname was Caveman. Just his whole demeanor, the way he kind of, you know, moved around the dock. And I mean, he was a good worker for sure. He was a freaking workhorse, that guy. But, and he was like 95% serious and 5% screwing around. You didn't really see the screwing around side a whole lot, you know. But one day he's having a bad day, or just, you know, whatever. Just, we'll say it's a bad day. And he said the funniest thing to me. I'll never forget. He goes, you know, Jake, if I had to do this all over again, I'd be a freaking trash man. You just pick the bags up, you throw them in. Doesn't matter what side you load them on. Doesn't matter if it's over, if it's short, it's a damage. Just throw it all to hell in there. It doesn't matter, you know? And I'm like, you know what, Larry? That's a good idea, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, it is.
He was a nice guy. I heard he left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a really nice guy, but like, he was just like in his own world. He did those, I don't know, like 8, 9, 10 straight trucks for going to like Center City, and he just stayed in his area and just let him go do his thing, you know, and it would get done.
Yeah.
So, all right, you're driving truck for Pitt. How's it going for you?
Oh, great.
Are you loving truck driving?
Man, Tony,
it's everything that you dreamt of.
Yeah. Help me out here. It's everything I dreamt of. Everything is awesome. I love what I do. Now, this is sound like a listen, it's paying the bills. I do like driving the truck. It's everything else that comes along with driving the truck that is that you didn't know about until you get out there and do it. You know, I love driving the truck. It's kind of like in my blood at this point. Like I said, my dad drove, his dad drove.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's the people, I think, that you didn't know about, and yep. you know, and it's you were just, I mean, everyone else is better than you,
yep.
on the road, and for instance, like, say you're on, you're crawling along on the expressway or 76, 422, whatever. It's rush hour, traffic's jammed, you're crawling. You got on-ramps, off-ramps, interchanges. And everyone's primary goal is to just move forward. That's mm-hmm. all I want to do. Just right. keep the wheels moving forward. So when I got a line of cars up to my right and they're on the on-ramp waiting to merge, I usually take into consideration, all right, my truck's 70 feet long, hooked up, combined. I'm going to take into consideration the length of my vehicle. I'm going to let like four or five people in, you know, because it doesn't matter, really. We're right. all just going to get out here and crawl anyway. Yep. Why am I going to keep inching up, blocking everyone in? I'll let four or five of you out, and then we'll all keep going forward. So car number one sees what you're doing, and he's thankful. He gives you the wave in the rear view. Car number two's coming up on your right side. He's looking up at you, and he sees the gap there. Car number three is like, okay, we got this guy's cool. He's going to let us in.
Right.
Car number four, for all I know, I just made these guys today. They're tickled pink. There was a truck driver back there. He let us all in. He was car number five. You know where I'm going.
I do.
So car number five, their on-ramp is starting to get pretty narrow at this point. And look, we got to draw the line somewhere. I ain't sitting here all day.
Right.
Well, car number five may not make it in. Instantly, you're just a piece
yeah.
of garbage. I mean, the arms go flying. The finger yeah. comes out. He wants you dead.
Yep.
The four cars in front of him are happy as hell. I just, you know, made their day. Mm-hmm. Car number five wants you freaking dead.
Yep.
And me, I'm like, I will take this truck. You know, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
But you can't. But it's yeah, just yeah. like everyone is just so much better than you. You're just a,
yeah.
you know, that's what you didn't know mm-hmm. going into yes. this. Driving the truck, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's one of those things where the driving, loved it.
Yeah.
And that's what I miss, the driving.
Yeah.
It's the BS that goes around everything else, the people out in the roads, and that kind of attitude and stuff. I mean, it's just that they know better. They, you know, we, when you're out there driving, you know, with a mission in mind, mm-hmm. you know, you're working like you're not out there just joyriding, but there, these people out there, I don't know what it is. It's just their mentality is so different, and I don't know what they expect out of you as a driver on the road, but it's like they treat you like you're an idiot. They treat you, they just act like whatever they had going through their mind as to what was supposed to happen, and it didn't happen that way. And they're just like, you fucking moron. I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah. So that's people on the road. And then there's customers is a whole mm-hmm. other thing that
yeah.
if you want to talk about, we could. I mean, there's
you've always had the best interactions with customers.
Well,
do tell.
He gets along great with everybody.
Was it sarcasm? Okay. Well, I will say this. So, you never know what you're going to get with me. And
that's true.
And I kind of like to keep it that way to a point where it's not going to get me in trouble.
Sure.
But, I mean, well, a couple times it did, but, you know, like, you know, our, the magical moment you can receive for yeah. going above and beyond, and you're just an all-star employee and you did everything right. And they love you.
Yep.
Okay.
They throw pixie dust at you. And so that's great.
That happened to me one time. I got the magical moment. I'm like, wow, Jake. I'm like, yeah, yeah. I at this place and everything was great. 2 days later, I get kicked out of a place and they say, don't ever send that driver back again. So that was the same week. So they kind of, you know, weighed each other out and we went about our merry way. But like, that's what I said. You never know what you're going to get with me. But hey, they did it to me. That's, you know,
yeah,
the customers. Yeah.
Customers get to you.
Yes, they do.
They really do. And it's one of those things. I said a couple of times, I don't know who I heard it from. I want to, maybe it was Timmy Riker. I don't know. But I know I heard other people say similar things at Pitt. But it got to the point where sometimes you walk into a place and it's your first time there and they're talking to you like you should know everything. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's when you start mouthing off and you start, you know, giving it to them and stuff.
Yeah, it's a fine line of what you can say, what you want to say.
Oh, yeah.
And what's running through your head.
And what you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's listen, I know it's not my name on the door. It's not my name on the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to. Well, you got to kiss ass sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes.
You know? Yeah. And a lot of times, actually. And that's just all goes back to what I said earlier. Right? This is the stuff that you didn't know.
Yeah.
Going into it. But
it's the trap.
That's it.
It's the trap.
Yeah, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
They don't tell you everything up front.
Yeah.
When you find out, it's too late. The paycheck isn't bouncing, so.
Yeah. Yeah, every once in a while, we get messages and from people that listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about getting into truck driving. What, you know, you got any, you know, pointers? And
I'm get like, your CDL and start doing it.
Yeah, I'm just like, well, it depends on, you know, what you want out of your life. You know what I mean? Like,
it is.
What do you want out of life? Because
that's exactly right.
Saying that, yeah.
If you want to make a lot of money, yeah.
Well, but it depends on what you're doing. I mean, you know, if you get your class A, you're right. If you get class A,
you have
A,
the opportunity to make a lot of money.
Exactly. You do.
If you go to the right place and find the right place.
See, that's just, and that's the turnoff for a lot of people is when they get involved in this and they get their license and they get their first job with an over the road company and they're making, you know, 35 cents a mile or 40 cents a mile and their take home pay, or not their take home pay, but they're grossing $45,000-$50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be gone in my mind, for 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks at a time and not see my wife, not see my kids for 4 or 5 weeks, $50,000 a year is not a lot.
No, no.
That's the thing that, and that can be a big turnoff.
Yeah.
Which is why the industry has a shortage of drivers.
There's a guy who was talking to me.
That, yeah.
He's in England and he was talking about coming into the States to drive truck. And he was asking me about it. He's like, you know, what do you think and stuff? And I'm just like, listen, man, if you want to make a lot of money, sure. Mm-hmm. I said, but here's some things you need to know about what's happening right now at the industry. Because at the time, they were talking about the mandates and everything. And I was like, you might want to wait and see how all this shakes out before you come to another country to drive truck thinking you're going to be driving. And all of a sudden, you can't even drive. Because you're one of those people that don't want to get vaccinated, you know?
Was that wasn't the toot-toot guy, was it?
No.
Okay.
No. He
is happy doing what he's doing.
Yeah, he's...
Which I'm glad
for. But you know what? He was the right guy for the job. I mean, like, if I remember correctly, him and his wife don't have the kids at home. And she does her thing, and mm-hmm. he just stays out, and you know he's happy doing what. It's just a good situation for them, you know. Yeah. If you got a family and kids and stuff, I would just say you gotta be fully aware of what you're getting yourself into,
right.
Because I mean, how many times have we seen people coming in and out of the doors at Pitt, Ohio, and they're not there very long because they're like, this is nuts, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's a grind.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I started so young, 17, mm-hmm. you know, dock worker. But again, that's something that you don't know until you do it.
Yep.
Especially, you know, 17, I didn't have a house. I didn't have a family. Now I grew to where, I got a house. I got a family.
Right.
It's rough, man. So, I'm working, over 60 a week. And it takes a toll on you just mentally, emotionally. You know, you don't see your family. And it's...
Yep.
But we're talking about that trap thing again,
yes,
you know? We're
exactly.
talking about that trap thing again. Exactly. The money's good and it's Here I am.
Here we are. Here we are. Yeah, when I was driving, that the worst part was coming home sometimes and, you know, the kids are in bed sleeping and you're just like, and especially when there's weeks that it's like that more often than not,
right.
And it's just like, what's the point?
And we came home, we're able to come
home every day.
There's over the road guys, a lot of them call into your show, you know, that don't for a month, a month and a half.
Yeah,
we get to come home. I don't know what what perks we have. We put our dinner, you know, it's we funny. Put our dinner in the microwave. We go to sleep and do it again. But at least we get a shower.
You know what's funny is I just had this conversation with one of the other road drivers last week.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, at least we're home in our, you know, at least we're home every day. I said, yeah. How long are you home for?
Yeah. Yep.
10 hours.
Yeah.
and then you're right back at the grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes it's just hard to put all those things into perspective.
Sure.
You know, been doing this for almost 30 years. And it's just, after a while, it wears you out. You know, it's a great job. Paycheck is fantastic.
I'm too young to be wore out.
I know. I mean, tell me about it. I've got way too long to go myself till retirement. Jeez. And I've only got 15 years, not even 13 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, that's a long way away yet. I don't envy anybody who's got 30 some years to go.
Well, that's a whole other thing that you've talked about numerous times. Am I going to retire doing this? Tony says no.
According to Tony, the automated trucking system is going to take over before you get that far. So don't worry about it.
Yep. That's what I'm referencing here. I don't know, man.
Should I blow flowers your way or fire and brimstone?
Well, whatever you think. I mean,
here's the thing. Like, I think that no, I don't think you're going to retire driving trucks.
Man, I actually do.
I'm having a hard time believing it myself.
I honestly do. If you want to, that's the caveat. If you want to stay in this, because I don't. No matter what we do, no matter what happens with automation. Right. There is no way those trucks are going to back into a company and the customer is going to open that door, take their own freight off.
You're right.
There's going to be city drivers all the time. There's always going to be the delivery guy. That's just the way it's going to be.
That's what I'm thinking. You're shaking your head no.
You're right. The customers won't unload the truck.
Yeah. Exactly.
The robots will.
Well, if, you know,
when
did the Jetsons take place?
it's happening right before your eyes.
I actually think the Jetsons were taking place in 20 something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So we may be poop out of luck.
Really?
But honestly, that's just my own opinion. You know, I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
No, yeah. I wouldn't say tomorrow, but
no.
I mean, you know, the technology's there for exit to exit. I think.
I know my job may be in jeopardy, which is okay with me.
Yeah, you're good with that.
I'm totally down with that. Okay. Somebody can have mine. You know, truck can drive it. So can, you know, iRobot or whatever, you know, have at it.
Yeah, but I agree with that, though. The places we go to, city. So they can develop a computer to get that truck where it's got to be.
Exactly.
So I want to see that. I want to see when it fails.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see when it fails.
I don't want to be in the way of it when it fails.
No.
But I do want to watch this.
Yeah.
So speaking of the cities and stuff, what you'll see happen is the popping up of smart cities. And with that will come the implementation of automation within those cities. And once you start doing that, and I think New York City is going to be one of the first smart cities we have in this country. But once the smart cities pop up and you see you start working it out in one city, then another city, and all of a sudden it becomes something that is actually more often than not, you have smart cities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to go a long way with the automation, a long way.
I don't disagree with that.
Smart city in the sense, I mean, what will that do for automation? You put everything on a grid. You're taking this
highly intelligent people in these cities. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Oh, no, wow. No.
Are you talking about the? No, I won't.
So what were you saying? Go ahead, sir.
So you're talking about putting everything on a grid. I was talking about trucks driving themselves, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, being in a smart city, you're thinking they can.
Well, in order for the trucks to drive themselves in the city and back in these crazy spots, the city itself has to be a smart city where most, if not everything, is on an automated platform.
All right, yeah, I'm with you.
And so that's why I think New York is going the way it's going. I think they're intentionally driving people out of the city that can afford to leave, so that the only people that are there are poor people who can't afford to leave, and then they can just do whatever they want. And they're talking about de Blasio wanted to, or still wants to, buy up big pieces of real estate downtown to make it public housing. Once it's public housing,
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they once they have complete control of the ins and outs of these cities and stuff, and they start implementing the, and what smart cities are is basically things like just anything from cameras to on every corner of the city, mm-hmm. facial recognition, all that stuff. But then you're also talking about, you know, the automated side of things where, well, we're entering into the metaverse right now, and like, that's going to hit the cities hard, really hard. I really believe that you're going to one day be able to walk down in Philadelphia and it's going to be quiet because everybody's hooked into the metaverse.
What the hell's a metaverse?
Ah, so yeah.
And what show are we on right now?
Right.
Well, it all really does come back to, you know, logistics and everything. But no, the metaverse is basically, so Facebook is now Meta, and they're creating the next, basically Web 3.0, which is basically a virtual reality, and people are going to be working. They're going to start it out with for entertainment purposes, but then you're going to wind up working in this metaverse altered reality, and eventually living there, essentially.
Dude, if I can drive a truck from my couch,
I'm
on board, right?
Yes. I'm on board. Yeah. So like,
they're drone trucks. Yeah. Fantastic.
These like Nike, for instance, they're buying companies that create digital clothing and things like that. And what their plan is to, and this makes sense, but what their plan is, instead of making a sneaker, rolling it out and hopefully hoping it sells, they're going to make 30 sneakers and they're going to roll it out in the metaverse where it's a lot cheaper to roll out such things, see what hits in the metaverse for people buying up these sneakers for their avatars and stuff. And then whatever's hitting is what they'll make in reality for people to put on their feet. It's just the metaverse it's a whole other level of existence that we're being ushered into, and none of us have a choice in it. None of us have a choice in it. If you want to live, you're going to have some kind of foot in the metaverse at some point. And it's literally, anybody who says otherwise, is literally somebody who back in 1995 said, why would I ever need a computer? Why would I ever use the internet? And that's back then the way it was. That's what this Web 3.0 is going to be 20, 30 years from now. Mm-hmm. My kids will never know a world without Web 3.0 metaverse type stuff. Mm. It's crazy. But anyways,
yeah, that's a little deep. I'll get back to you on that.
but all that said and stuff, that metaverse stuff, all that stuff is going to have a huge role in the automated side of things because it's going to be AI technology, all that stuff. I heard a guy recently say that, that it's impossible for trucks to, or any vehicles to be fully automated because of the variables, of like things running, like a kid running out in front of the car and stuff. And I'm just like, I don't think that's true at all, because what happens if a bag blows out in front of the car? Like, I mean, like, I don't know. I just think that the automated side of things, the computer side of things, it's going to be worked out in time. And yeah, people are going to have to die in the process, but it's what's going to happen.
It's the casualty.
Like, I'm not saying I want it. Like, I'm just saying this is what I believe is going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't want it either. I don't want it.
Nope. No. I'm going to go all Grizzly Adams.
Yeah.
Did everybody get that reference?
Yeah, I don't know who Grizzly Adams is.
Grizzly Adams?
Yeah, but I'm
like, sounds like he was some kind of outdoorsman guy.
Yeah, he was a mountain man.
Yeah, see, I knew a little bit of it.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And had a pet bear.
There you go.
Grizzly bear.
But yeah, I mean, I just...
TV from the 70s.
Okay.
But I think the trucking industry, as much as it's changed in the last 20, 30 years... I think it's going to change even more the more the technology grows.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are seeing it with your company and stuff, with everything that all the tech that goes into the trucks. I mean,
well, there's a reason why I always drove the oldest truck in the fleet.
You really did?
And that's, I did. I did. I even drove that CH Mack, wherever the hell that thing came from.
Wow.
Single axle CH Mack. It just showed up one day. I'm like, I want that. I'm like, why do you want that piece? Of, you know, I'm like, because, man, I got a long ways to go. Okay. I at least want to drive something. You know, I drive that. It feels like I drove a truck at the end of the day. I want to feel, you know what I mean? Like what it was like. God damn it. And,
I want my hands to still keep shaking as I walk away.
Yeah. I mean, everything now is just not automated, but there's a lot of technology in it. And I just want to drive something old school just to get a taste of what it was.
Mm-hmm. Let me still shift gears.
Yeah. At least let me control that.
Right.
Took everything else away.
What do you got now?
That's still stick. Yeah.
God bless you.
What was it? You were doing 14 something for a while. They got rid of that one, right?
No, nah, still there.
Yeah?
Yeah, 1769. Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah. 1769. I can't remember what truck number I had. I think it was like 1764 or something like that when I left.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, honestly, I know what mine is. Start it up and
that's it,
and I go
just goes.
I don't care.
So I'm assuming that eventually they're just gonna phase everything out as far as manual transitions. Everything's gonna
be automatic. That was already
and that's not just Pitt. I mean, that's the trucking man, the truck manufacturers, you know, they're not
making them anymore.
No.
Wow.
I think they still might be making them though.
No, they're starting to phase all that out.
I mean, even if you want the special order or
that, you know, maybe you can special order them. But the last thing I had heard was that, you know, they're starting to phase all of it out.
That's ridiculous.
Yep. I mean, you can even get the qualification on your license. Yeah, you can get a CDL that says you can't drive anything but an automatic.
And it says that right on your license.
It says it on your license.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're starting to give licenses out to, teenagers now.
Yeah.
You know, that's the next thing. Yeah. You know, that's what we're doing now. And it's, kind of a scary thing.
You remember what you did in your car as a teenager?
Right.
Yeah. Holy shit. No.
There you go. Here's 80,000 pounds. Have fun.
Yeah. You know, I just saw, I think it was this week, and I don't know, maybe it was an article or I don't remember, but did you guys hear that they're starting to, maybe this is like a situational thing, but they're starting to let teenagers
18
that's what we're talking about.
That's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they're literally letting 18 year olds drive
truck.
Get your license. Yeah.
Yep. I think right now that the caveat with that is that it's not interstate. You have to be intrastate within your state.
Yeah, I think you're drive, right.
But I don't think it's interstate.
Wow.
But of course, and that's in attempts to fill the gap. Number of truck drivers I say that we need.
Yep. So let's start them out young and burn them out.
Right. Yeah. Plus 18, like you said. Dude, no. I'm actually happy I waited until 24. And even then, to have a license for one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you know, when I started there, I was in the yard truck at 18. And honestly, that was the best training I ever had. I mean, Phil was my trainer. Okay. See how I rolled into that?
Very good.
Here's
well done.
So so Phil was my trainer. And okay. One thing, Tony, I was supposed to say on the show.
Oh yeah, you're supposed to tell me off or something.
Yeah, no, I ain't gonna tell you off. But when Phil was here, you said something like Pitt, Ohio, they didn't give me any training. They just threw me the keys and said, here you go. And Phil, he didn't like that. Phil said, no, that's not true. He goes, tell Tony that when we trained, we did this and that. And I'm like, yeah, Phil, I agree. So I had to take Phil's side with that.
Okay.
They had some training there, Tony. Come on. They didn't just hand you a book and throw you the keys.
Hold on a second. Was I referring to when I first started at Pitt, Ohio?
I believe, yeah.
That is absolutely true.
Jesus. Okay. I
don't know what to tell you or Phil, but like I literally spent like a day, like I think it was like a day to a day. It was a day and a half. I spent like a day and a half with Jay McManus and then I was on my own. Yeah. And there's a reason why
came with your license.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason why I, like my very first day on my own, it was like I went out with Jay in the morning, did like a half day load thing, came back. They gave me like 15 stops in Delco and I didn't know that right around five-ish,
like, if I haven't heard from them, maybe I should call in and see what they want me to do, kind of thing.
Right.
And so, like, I'm still in downpouring rain at like 9:30 at night, running around Delco to places that I assume are closed, but because nobody called me to tell me to bring it in, I'm just running around like a retard, just trying to get deliveries done.
No, I got you.
Like,
okay, so maybe that was when you first were hired with the license. Here's a day with the guy to show you how the computer works, essentially. And other than that, you came here with your license, so we assume you can drive a truck. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Now, when you advanced to Class A, how many days were you with Phil?
A lot.
Okay.
It was like an on and off thing, you know, how it is.
Right.
Huh. But no, my
you got trained? You guys both got trainers?
Well,
what's that like?
I just said that the yard truck was my...
Yeah.
No. I
did you go out with a trainer?
Yeah, yeah. Phil was in here, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I did.
You know,
whatever the requirement is, 6 weeks, honestly, 100 and whatever hours, yeah.
I never went out with a trainer.
Yeah.
I got hired at Pitt, Ohio when UPS.
That's not true, right? Dad. That's not true. They always send people out with trainers. It's not true.
Listen, I literally
started at Pitt, Ohio when UPS was on strike.
Yeah.
And I was on the dock for 4 days, and Glenn Cooney, who was the safety, one of the safety guys, Dean Yockey's job then,
right.
Glenn Cooney, he came, he saw me, he says, so, you know, it's, my name's Glenn, you know, it's nice to meet you. What are you doing? He's, I'm going to be a trailer driver, city guy. You're a city guy. You're still on the dock. Then just hold on a second.
Yep.
Walked inside, talked to whoever he talked to, came back out and said, you'll be in the city tomorrow.
Yep.
Friday.
Yeah.
I was in the city. I walked in the door. The terminal manager hangs, there's, you know, in downtown, there's, you know, the window for when you talk to somebody.
Yeah,
hangs outside the window and hands me my book. He goes, this is your book. Sign here. This is your time in, your time out. If you have a problem, give us a call.
Nice. That was it.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trainers.
Yeah. So, look, I ain't in here trying to start a problem.
No, you're fine.
It was just funny. I just wanted to share that. It was just funny.
And, but... At any rate, no. The
So you did train with Phil.
Well, yeah, I trained with Phil.
You go. Okay.
Thank you, Phil, for training Tony.
But really,
that was a good job.
When I was in the yard truck, you know, I was the yard jockey for. I was 18 up until I drove 24 when I got my license. You know, and that alone. Now, granted, you have no experience on the street.
No, but
there's a lot to learn on the street too.
Yeah, but.
But I can tell you, I mean, some people start and you have to start square one. This is a truck, this is a trailer. And they look at you like, and like, oh boy, this ain't going to work.
Right.
You know, I had more knowledge than that going into it. And what I didn't know, I learned in the yard how to back them up. That's a big thing.
It's huge.
You know,
that's the hardest thing.
So yeah, I mean, I taught myself a lot. And every now and then you would ditch the yard truck and you grab someone's twin screw and fire it up and all right, I'm gonna figure this thing out, you know, and you go through the yard rink like, what the hell is this, you know, and take it out again, you're figuring it out. I don't know whose truck it was, they probably weren't happy, but you know, hey, I figured it out myself.
There you go.
All right, I knew the gist of it. I knew how these things work. I'm a bit of a motorhead. You know, redneck trucks. Like them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I understand how they work.
Completes the
transmission. It's just a matter of getting out there and doing it.
Yep.
Once you get the license, you're out there doing it. You at this point become an extension to the truck.
Right.
You know, it's like me and the truck. We make this thing work.
That's right.
I control this and you just feel so comfortable, you know? So, but the training helps. Sure. Back to the training part.
I remember.
No, there was. Go ahead.
No, I remember. I'd say probably my first first six to 10 months or so, driving a trailer on my own. Every time I got in the truck, I was just like taking a deep breath before I did it because I was just like, "This is a lot of truck," you know. And especially like when I first got my license, you know, I'm bouncing back in between the straight truck and trailer and stuff. So like. There would be like a week where I don't drive a trailer at all.
Yeah,
and
it might be a little rusty then.
Going on Monday and you're in a trailer and it's 53 and all I see is Philadelphia on my book. I'm like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. You know. Yeah. But you like driving Philadelphia.
I love it.
Do you really?
I love it.
Wow.
I know.
God bless you.
I should say this on air. They're going to put me there every damn day. But you know what? It's a whole other world, and you can be really got to watch what I say here. I don't want to get myself in trouble. You can be more aggressive down there, and you almost have to be.
Sure.
You do. I mean, you're trying to hang this thing out there and swing a turn. Well, I got to hang it out there to swing a turn, or I'm taking everything else with me.
Yeah.
You know, if I start sitting through the lights, I'm going to sit there all damn day. So now you're timing lights. You're looking at the car, and you know what? In the racing world, we call it a hole shot. Whoever gets the whole shot goes first. Whoever gets the whole shot wins. You know, in drag racing, when when you're watching the lights go down and it's red, it's yellow, 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 and you get the green and you both nail the throttle and you take off. Well, whoever gets that whole shot, if you got a pretty compare car, you're going to win. So that's what you're doing with the lights. You're watching, you're trying to think of when this damn thing is going to turn green. And you got to get yourself out there first. And now everyone else isn't moving until you get through. And that's how you have to drive down there. It really is.
It, yeah.
And so that whole aspect of it is cool to me, I guess.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, you know what, I came down here, I'm in charge.
There you go.
You guys aren't doing anything till I'm out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I never thought I would like the city, driving the city. I remember in high school when you first get your license, you know, I didn't live far from Philly, obviously. You first get your license and the first thing you want to do with your buddies is, yo, let's go down and get cheesesteaks. Let's go to Philly.
Right.
You don't know a damn thing about Philly, and the whole time down there, you don't know where you're going. You know,
yeah.
You know how to get to the Pat's Cheesesteaks, which is the tourist cheesesteak spot. You don't even know where the good steaks are yet.
Right.
You know, you just get your steak and you get out. And the whole time, you're like, what if we get shot? What if we do this? Once you're down there working for a whole day, you're like, you know what? The city isn't that big. I learned a lot about the city, and I feel like I can go down there and just navigate. Feel like I'm in charge, almost.
Never got that.
Now I got a couple of city guys listening to me. They're gonna wait for me and who's this guy? But you know,
right?
Yeah, mouthing off. We're gonna show. Yeah.
they're gonna be like, "Hey, Jake, I got Philly. You want it?"
Yeah.
Yeah. I never
had that, huh?
No. I hated Philly. Every time I went there, I hated it, and. Even during the interview with Jason, he said, you have a problem driving Philly? I said, no, but as soon as I get a chance, I'm getting out. That's what I did. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. See, I like the technical parts of it, I guess. You know, a lot of times where I'm in trouble, not in trouble, but I start really just screwing up. I got to think about it. Dude, what the hell are you doing? I get a wide open, you know, beautiful Chester County, and everything's wide open. I go to the dock place. I go to the delivery and the dock and the yard and layout. I got 500 acres to flip this thing around if I want.
Right.
And I'm going back and forth. Can't dock the damn thing. It's like, what the hell are you doing? You get me in the city. You get the guy to dump the trash truck that put the dumpster too close. I get a couple kids bouncing a basketball off the trailer. Two cars parked by the fire hydrant. I got to swing it around the phone pole again. And I'm in.
Yep.
You know, it's like, what the hell was this all about? I can't even get it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a whole different type of driving. And not only that, but once you go down, it's almost like a whole other world. You know what I'm talking to, you know, you really didn't know it was like that. I'm talking about the drugs, the homeless and everything else. I mean, it's wild.
Yeah.
And just to see that is, I'm not like attracted to it. I don't know why, you know, it's just, it's fascinating to me. It's right. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Philadelphia, the Kensington area is nationally known for how bad the drugs have gotten there. I remember them talking about it on Tucker Carlson. Like he did a whole segment on it. I'm just like, dang, if Tucker's talking about it, it means it's pretty bad.
Yeah. I think it was referenced as the heroin capital of the country.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy. I had a couple guys fly in from Ohio to be in here in studio back in April, and they got an Airbnb down there in Kensington.
Wow.
And I was just like, why did you? And they're like, oh, it just seemed like it was a good place. And I was like, you're like a block and a half from a really bad area. It's like right on that cutoff line, you know? And I remember going down there that night to drop them off. And when I dropped them off, I was like, lock the freaking doors and get me the hell out of here. You know?
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's not my cup of tea, I guess, for driving truck and stuff. I absolutely hated every second of it. And I didn't know where anything was. And I don't think I cared to know, because like I did it enough that I should have known certain places, but I was right. Just like, I don't want to know.
Just didn't.
Yeah. Like
you didn't absorb it.
No,
I'm going to remember this for next time. So
exactly. No.
I don't want there to be a next time.
No, it's just like, as soon as I did that stop, it's out of my brain. I don't even remember. Like,
see, yeah. I mean, I knew I was in trouble. Well, not in trouble, but I knew I was in for it. I knew I had it. And I might have been the guy now. Once you start doing a whole run and you don't have to look for directions. And you know what roads to take, what roads not to take. Yeah. More importantly, what roads not to take.
Yep.
And you're like, wow, I just got all these stops off. And I didn't have to ask for directions. I didn't have to look at a map. I'm like, oh, man, I guess maybe I'm the Philly guy now.
You're
the
Philly guy. But
no, they actually bounced me around pretty good. I might be Philly. I might be Kensington one day. And the next day, I'm looking at horse and buggies.
Really?
Farm. Yeah, it's just, it's weird.
Yeah,
because I'm on that on-call bid. I don't have a set run.
Right.
I could have, but kind of like it this way. So it works.
Changes it up every now and then. Right. Yeah, something different.
Yep.
Yeah, I every time I took a bid, it was like, let's just get the one that's furthest away from Philly.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I really enjoyed the Ben Salem run when I did that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'd go into like Northeast.
Ooh. You know,
that's about as far as I was willing to go. Wow. You know, I think when I first got my trailer license, we were just starting to bid, and they just came out with the 9 a.m. Chester County run, and nobody took it, and so I freaking took that thing. I ran that thing for like 2-3 years before.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then I did the Ben Salem for a while. And then I did Pottstown. That was the spot. That was the spot. Loved it.
Your backyard.
Backyard, man. It was great. And then like you knock off the deliveries and you get it done fast enough. And all of a sudden they're just like, hey, go up to U-line. And then I'm done. Shoot, dude.
I've been doing that a lot lately.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Coming up.
Do they have you go from anywhere or are you generally in that vicinity?
Back to the yard after a run. Grab an empty or go. Or if I'm up here. Pottstown, send me up. I mean, I've already left from
Fulcroft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. And went up. Just all depends on, I don't know.
Whatever. How long is it going to take you guys to get up there?
From terminal?
Yeah, well, from wherever. Yeah, like in a general idea.
About an hour, 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, I make a project out of it. I stay off the turnpike if I can, you know?
Yeah, buddy.
I'm 422, 100 north all the way.
Yeah.
And it's not any shorter or it's any not any longer, faster yeah, you know yeah. It's just it's the same as the turnpike, so why be on the turnpike standing on the throttle for 35 miles wondering what this guy's doing to my right, what this guy's doing to my left, what lane's going faster? Just let me just take the country road up and I'll be there the same time the guy that's running his balls off will be pulling in the same time. Yep, you know that exactly. that actually happened Friday night.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, guy takes the pike, I take 100. He's there a minute before me.
Really?
Wow. Yep.
That's great.
I'm looking at cows and farm fields. He's standing on the throttle on turnpike for 40 miles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, that was one gig that I didn't mind doing and stuff, because I usually was wrapping up in Boyertown and just go right up 100 and it's there pretty quickly.
I just had a moment to think. I'm here on your show. You have a lot of people listening from around the country, world, I guess too, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
Guatemala.
Yeah.
Guatemala, there you go.
So a lot of guys that actually drive a truck and run some miles, and I'm talking about standing on the throttle for 40 miles.
Yeah.
like what the hell is this guy talking about?
40 miles. Yeah, well, you know, LTL driving is a totally different game.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, it's like the difference is night and day between the industries. I mean, LTL, I mean, like you're not driving the miles that these road guys are driving, but like you're doing a lot of physical work.
Oh yeah.
Lot of physical work.
And honestly, I don't think I could, run the road like these guys. Really? I mean, there's mornings where I, you know, runs ready. It's, I punch in at 6, I'm out the gate at 7. I'm heading for my first stop is, well, let's just say it's 40 miles up the turnpike, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I get on a Valley Forge, get off at Bristol. I'm like, oh my God, 40 miles. And I'm like, my hours are, you know, I'm like drinking a coffee. I'm like, this is going to take forever, you know? I'm like, I can barely make up the bike 40 miles without, you know?
Yeah.
So for that reason, I don't think I could do the whole road thing. Listen.
You should become a line haul driver.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That's where it's at.
I don't know about that.
It's not really.
Yeah, no. He's
just trying to find a replacement.
I am trying to find a replacement. Can you transfer to Allentown?
Yeah. I'm actually right smack in the middle of both
of them.
Would
that not suck?
I'm actually,
if that became the thing that we had to do in order to leave a job, you had to find somebody to replace you.
that would be possible. No. That ain't going to fly. They're going to put a boost on this self-driving truck program.
Yeah, I'm going to help them. No, you got to do this. It's got to be able to do that.
A fast track. What did they call the vaccine when that came out? They're going to put a...
Warp speed?
Operation Warp speed.
Operation Warp speed.
Yeah, what a bunch of shit. Whatever.
Yeah.
We don't have to go there if you don't want to lose.
We can definitely go
wherever you want to go, dude.
I don't want to lose half your listeners.
I think the listeners understand where I stand on this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't.
It's personal. It's not a political issue, you know, to a point.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, like right now we got the drivers in Canada protesting and it's a beautiful thing. Like I look at it and I think it's a beautiful thing because I don't think that anybody should be forced to inject themselves with.
Yeah, they should
experimental treatment.
You should not be forced to do something against your own conscience.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem if you want it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
If
and if you don't want it, that's fine. It's not anybody else's business but your own.
I don't care if people take the vaccine. It's just, and that's the thing. What you just said is, you know, listen, it's none of your damn business.
Yep.
It's none of your, and you shouldn't make it your business as to what, who has what and this, that, and the other. And if you think it's your business and you make it your business, it's because you're being brainwashed and manipulated by mainstream media. That's the only way I can take it.
So,
because you never gave a damn about how people were vaccinated before all this ever.
Yeah.
Like all these people that are you know, whatever. Like, you know, 3 years ago before COVID was a thing, like nobody walked around scared to death that there are people in this world that weren't having their kids vaccinated
or even getting the flu
because
even,
that's
even getting the flu vaccine.
That's a thing. Like that's an actual thing. Like there is a lot of people who choose to not have their kids vaccinated. They're not vaccinated and nobody was scared of them.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden now, you know, it's reversed and I don't like it.
So. Well, they got us right where they want us.
Mm-hmm.
And Canada, look at Canada. Like you said, they're actually they're doing something. How many times during your 30 years plus of driving have you heard that there's going to be United States, if we just shut the trucks down one day, or maybe they even threatened it during the deregulation days, we're going to shut down, did it happen?
No.
Canada made it happen.
Yeah, they did. So they stood
hats
up.
Off. Hats off to Canada. Yes, we should be taking notes.
Do you think that we would actually, like the truckers in this country would actually push back like that?
No.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing the organization come to fruition with something like this.
Mm-hmm. No, instead we just like to log on Facebook and tell everyone what we're going to do and then not do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, just as long as we get a bunch of likes.
Yeah.
I agree with this. You're right. And that's the end of it. No one hears about it anymore, but you got on there and you had your voice heard for a minute and it made yourself feel good.
Pacify yourself.
There's no action anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of any situation, if you're talking mandates or whatever or something totally unrelated.
Right.
It's just cool to go on and talk.
Yeah.
Whether you do it or not is a whole other thing in itself. And no one does it.
Nobody's motivated.
Yeah.
This whole country, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is that, like, you know, the whole idea of America, we're tough, got our guns, all this stuff, you know, the last few years I've been seeing that we're all talk, you know, we're just all talk.
There's some people out there that might have more.
For instance,
maybe they're not talking, you know?
Sure. But like, we see European countries that we typically would say, oh, the freaking French, you know, and they had enough, and they had their protests and stuff,
right?
You know, Canada's having their protests, and you got places like New York City doing some crazy stuff, and people are just like, okay,
for the most
where's the freaking huge protest in New York City?
Mm-hmm. Right,
where is it? It's not there.
Yep.
And that's what I mean. It's just like, you know, like,
because people love to be told what to do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yes. It's a safe space.
That's it.
It's safe for them.
Yep.
Somebody else told me what I should do, so I did it. And that's a sad thing.
Yeah.
That's really sad. That's where we come to. That's right. The thing I don't like about all of this stuff, about all the whole vaccine, I was thinking about this just this weekend. You know, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you want to get the vaccine. You get it. That's fine. I don't have a problem. You don't want to get the vaccine? Don't get the vaccine.
Right.
I don't have a problem. What I can't stand is the people who go online and say that so-and-so got COVID. Well, I hope they die. They didn't get the vaccine. You know, I just hope to, you know, the F them. I hope they die.
Yep.
Where does that come from? I mean, what the hell is the matter with people?
Why would you
if
even
that's
think?
Your attitude?
Right.
You know, yep. I mean, that's what do you care if they got the shot or not? What do you care if they didn't get the shot?
It's insane.
You know, one way or the other. But don't wish harm on someone else.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't do what you did. Or because they didn't do what you thought they should do.
But better yet, if they got it, then what the hell are they so concerned for? You know,
right?
I mean? Yeah. If it works, I mean, and you got it, and you're protected.
That has been the big question all
the
this
hell
whole
do you care
time,
if I
right?
Got it. Yep.
Right. Well, you got the. I thought you got the vaccine. I did, but you should get it too. Why are you afraid yours isn't working or what?
So, you know? So another thing that is really really confusing, going to these places you're delivering to. I got 15 stops a day. Let's just say that. So you go into your first stop, and it's you touch the door buzzer, they let you in, and then there's a piece of tape on the line that says, drivers, do not cross this line. There's a bottle of hand sanitizer there. Driver, sanitize your hands. Someone will be with you to check your temperature. It's like, okay, this isn't the doctor's office.
Right.
Okay, you have all these protocols and wear a mask. That's a whole other thing. I got to take a breath here. I'm getting myself pissed off. All right. So, that's your first stop.
All right.
All this, I mean, you're just, don't move. You know, we got all these safety protocols, so they say. You go to the guy across the street in the same business center. You walk in and he goes, hey, man, there's a break room. Help yourself to a cup of coffee. Yeah. Would you guys at least get on the same freaking page? Because right. I don't know how to act anymore. Right. I really don't.
Yeah, I can believe it.
And it's just, it's insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Yeah. That this is the world we live in.
Yep.
You know, there's no set standard. We're just doing whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to do whatever they want to do, which is fine. You do what you want to do.
Right.
But, you know, publicly, let's at least, you know, we're all on the same page here, you know, but we're not.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I wasn't sure how life was, you know, delivering freight still. Because, I mean, when I left, we had to wear a mask still, you know. And, you know, there are some places I could go in. I knew I didn't need to wear a mask and stuff. But then there were still a lot of places I still had a mask up. There's places that wouldn't let you in.
Yeah, it's just pretty much 50-50.
Yeah.
Every day, no matter what area you're in, it's 50-50. Do this. The next guy, no, you don't need to. And it's very confusing. It's very frustrating. It's, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Because, I mean, I just don't wear a mask anymore. And and so, like, it's not even part of, like, the equation that I even think about. And I was thinking about that with you guys. I was like, I wonder how it is still. I mean, if you still had to wear a mask, if you still have to carry one around and stuff.
The bathroom thing is really pissing me off. You can't even go take a leak anywhere. Use customer's bathroom.
No kidding.
You know, a lot of places. I mean, it says it right there, plain as day. Drivers, no public bathrooms. Drivers, not to use bathrooms. Drivers, you're being recorded if you urinate outside.
Wow.
You know, just, and 2 years ago, during the beginning, remember, we were all heroes.
Yeah.
Remember
that?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
You're just back to being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
COVID did a lot. It changed us a lot as a society.
Yeah.
It really did. It made things very confusing and very strange, almost to a point where it's, we don't have a grasp on how to deal with people anymore. We all hid in our houses for a year and we all came out and nobody knows how to deal with other people anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm supposed to be afraid of everybody. I'm supposed to be afraid of you. Don't use my bathroom. What?
Yep.
What do you think I'm going to do in there?
Yeah.
You know, I'll wash my hands when I'm done. You know, relax.
Sometimes that's the only reason why I want to go in.
Right.
Sometimes I can't even wash my hands until the end of the day, you know, because I can't use the bathroom.
Right.
Because the truck doesn't fit in every convenience store, sure. Wawa, yep. You know?
Right.
I literally cannot some days wash my hands. I might have a bottle of sanitizer in the truck, but there's nothing like a hot running water. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah,
I just want to wash my hands. And I can't even do that anymore. So it's yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange world.
Sounds fun. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's this dystopian future.
Yeah.
Where it's no longer the future. We're there. Yeah, it sounds weird to say that, but sometimes it feels that way.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
I agree.
When I think about what things were like, you know, even when I was in high school, you know, back as far as, and I think nowadays, you know, they want kids to get vaccinated and they can't do this and we're having school online instead of in person. It's like, you know,
we're playing our jazz concerts and Christmas concerts with freaking holes cut out in your mask so you can play your instruments. Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
We came out so dumb as you know.
Yes.
We were locked away for a year, like you said. Yeah. We came back. No one knows what to do. No. We're divided as hell.
Yeah.
Completely 100% just at each other's necks, us as a nation. Yeah. And we're stupid.
Yeah.
As hell.
Yeah.
Yep. That is
everyone.
Everyone.
Both sides.
It's been a rough,
you know,
2 years.
A bunch of dumbasses. I want to live in the woods. Never talk to anyone. Tony, you're on to something.
Yeah.
That was Grizzly Adams, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I guess I'll be Grizzly Adams then.
That's if I'm going to go all Grizzly Adams. I'm going to go off in the woods by myself and have a bear for
my
bear.
Man.
There you go.
Yep. Sounds about right. Sounds about right. You know, it's a crazy world that we're in right now. And
it's not just right now. I don't think it's ever going to get back to normal. This is normal now. This is this is what they call the new normal. It's always going to be this way now.
Yeah.
You know, we're never going to get back to what it was. Just never.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And you know what else sucks? You can't stop talking about it.
No,
you can't stop. You go get a haircut. What people talk about, you know, COVID.
Mm-hmm. You go on a podcast. It's what people talk
about.
That's
what we're talking about. You can't stop talking. You know,
you can't. Yeah. You can't because it's so it's so part of our lives now.
Yeah,
it's become part of the conversation. It's become part of the vernacular. It's who we are. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not like England. What has England done? They've gone back to normal. They've actually gone back to normal.
I got.
No.
So that's what they're telling people. But
Tony's gonna blow it out of the way. He's gonna blow my whole spiel out of the water.
No. They are. They're dropping these mandates and everything. Yeah. You're right. But I think that there's a reason why they're doing it. I don't think they're just doing it. I think they're doing it because they're allowing room for the social credit scoring system to start taking effect and a lead role
on
controlling everybody's lives.
So you're going they're completely going the opposite of normal. They're establishing the new normal.
They are ready for, I'm not sure if they are going to be using the ESG scores in Europe, but that kind of system, I think that they are ready for that kind of system to take control of the direction as they go as a country. So I think they're saying, yeah, sure, no more mandates, because it doesn't matter, because if you're not shopping in the right places, and if the places that you're shopping at aren't making the right decisions for you know their credit scores, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I think that's where it's going.
Maybe.
And I think that's why some of the places that they're like, yeah, go, we're going to open it up, no more. And everybody's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I think there's a reason why they're doing this.
Yeah, there's a reason for this. You got I'm with you.
All right.
Yeah.
But that's me. I'm a dystopian futurist. So I think that the world just kind of sucks and it's all doomed.
Well, it does. And it probably is.
And back to the automated trucking. And that's why I talk the way I do about it. It's not because I want it to happen. I just think that it's unavoidable. I think that this is our future.
It's inevitable. Yeah.
I think these people watched the movie The Matrix back in 99 and they're just like, yes, I want that. I want that. You know? and they've been working on it ever since. I think that's what it is.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That may be.
It's
what a time to be alive. Huh?
It's crazy.
About it, huh?
It's crazy, man.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful world.
Man. But I do. I think that you got plenty of time in the trucking industry, Jake. I just don't know if you have all the time.
Oh, I can't wait.
I just don't know if you got 32 years.
What am I going to, so if this all goes away, trucks are driving themselves, what am I going to do?
Uber.
Uber? Well, they'll be driving. Yeah. The trucks can drive themselves.
Yeah. So that's out.
Well, what did I want to do before this? Motorcycle mechanic.
You
know what?
By the time this all happens, you won't even have to worry about it.
Yeah.
The world will be automated. We'll be living in Tony's meta thing.
Yeah, you'll be
meta thing.
I mean,
and we won't have to do anything. We'll just get our UBI from the government.
You got a point there, because by the time that this all automation happens, the world is not going to be the same, and there's going to be things put in place like UBI, universal basic income, that's going to be put in effect so that everybody has a base level of income that everybody receives all the time, because there are no jobs. And then you take that money and you do the essentials here, and the rest of it goes to your metaverse world that you're building. I'm telling you, you're going to own real estate in the metaverse. You're going to raise your kids in the metaverse. Like, it's disgusting to say, it's disgusting to think about, but 50 years from now, it will not even be like a thought in people's minds to exist outside of the metaverse.
You know what's awesome? In 50 years from now, I won't be here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because I'm not going to make it to 104.
No,
I'm not planning on it. I'm not even shooting for it. The way things are going, no thanks.
Yeah.
So has there ever been a moment in your driving career that you want to tell us about? Any crazy stories that you've had out in the road? Or I prefer stories that weren't spawned by you per se, you know?
No, like, I got you.
Things that happened to you.
Honestly, I haven't really been out on the road a whole lot.
Sure.
You know what I mean? No, not really, man. It's been pretty tame. Your usual traffic accidents that you kind of look down at and say, how the hell that happened? Or what were you thinking? Or how'd you end up there? You know, it's not necessarily anything from truck driving. You know what I mean? I got no airplanes crashing in front of me. I got no guys jumping off the bridge. I got nothing coming through the window.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Many people do.
Not yet, anyway. Now, if I'm running the road and doing some miles every night, I would imagine you see some more things.
Man.
Sometimes you just see dark. That's it.
Well, sometimes you see dark for 600 miles, and that's all.
And that's all you see.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that whole idea that, you know, become a truck driver, see the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See the country from behind my windshield at night.
You don't see a damn thing.
Don't see nothing.
Yeah. I got a couple stories my dad shared with me when he was driving. So, I mean, my dad has had two jobs his whole life. Two things he did for a living. He has more than one, you know, more than two jobs, but two occupations. He either drove a truck or fixed trucks, either diesel mechanic, or he drove them his entire life. He was in the Marines as a mechanic, field mechanic, wheel mechanic, and got out and drove truck. And he actually worked at the Norristown first terminal.
Really?
Yep. Before it was Pitt, Ohio, it was Kraut Hamel Motor Freight.
Wow.
Oh.
And he worked out of there, and that's where he met my mom. Yeah, my mom was the office lady.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
So that seems to be a trend in trucking. Yeah. But he worked out of there, and then he drove flatbed. He ran like 38 stages in a flatbed. So yeah, anytime, like I said, he wasn't driving. He was fixing trucks. Now his dad, his father, I never met. He's passed before I was even a thing, but he was also a truck driver. Now the newest thing he ever drove was like a, 59 B model Mac.
Wow.
You know, I know my dad has always told me, I always wondered what my dad, this is my dad speaking to me. He goes, I always wondered what my dad would think of these new trucks we got. Because, the oldest, newest thing he ever drove was that 59 Mac, you know. Wow. It's like, I guess a lot of things have changed since then, too, But, so I don't really have a whole lot to share other than some of the things my dad has told me,
What'd your dad tell you?
Well, his first accident in a truck. Nothing major. It was actually funny. It's actually comical because it was in Philadelphia, and they're doing the same shit today that they did back in 1973 when this happened. All right, so he was might have been Krauthammer. He's working for a place I told you about. He's in. When was Hurricane Agnes? That was 73 around there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Spring City, they were underwater. They were flooded. There's a place, the company down there called Spring City Knitting. They make t-shirts and, you know, clothing and stuff. So he gets sent down to pick up a trailer load of wet t-shirts. I mean, you know, just recycling the crap. Mm-hmm. So it's loaded in a 40-footer single axle. I mean, that was King of the Road back then, 40 feet. That was
huge.
That was the biggest truck you can get. So he picks up this 40-foot single axle, loaded with wet rags, completely overweight. He knows he's overweight. The company knows he's overweight, but I mean, how you did stuff in 1973 was just, you know, right. go ahead, be careful, you know? Picks it up in a single axle tractor, takes it to a place in Philadelphia. So he says he's at like 20th and Girard or something, and he's catching every single traffic light, every block, just catching them. And he ain't rolling through the gear, seeing how much speed he can pick up in between the traffic lights. He knows. So he's just putting along. And he catches like the sixth red light and goes to hit the brake. It ain't stopping. This truck ain't stopping. It ain't going fast, but it's not stopping.
Wow.
So the car in front of him that stopped, mm-hmm. he'll tell you the year, make, model, everything, whether it was a factory four speed or the guy put it in. I mean, he knows, you know. So he goes, the car in front of him was a 65 Pontiac Le Mans, and he know he ain't stopping. So he reaches up and pulls the air chain, the air horn, breaks the chain.
Oh.
So at this point, the guy sees him coming for him. The light turns green. The guy sees he has a green light. He ain't moving. He's timing it. Oh, he's timing it just right. That's stopping. He can't stop this damn thing. Light turns green. He gets about a foot away from the bumper. The guy starts to just roll forward. My dad taps him. At this point, that's a, you know, collision,
yep.
right?
Yep.
All of his brothers across the street are saying, yo, man, you need a witness. I saw that guy hit you in the truck. My dad's going, oh, Christ, here we go. You know, it's really not. So the extent of it was, all that happened was the taillight popped out of this guy's car. It just popped out. I mean, back, you know, a 65 Le Mans had actual bumpers on it, you know?
Right.
That's what they were for. So essentially, the guy needs a taillight. So they exchange their information and all that. And, the company my dad was working for, the guy says, he goes, bud, you know, this, you know, the taillight's $50. He goes, all right, well, I don't know, can you go through insurance? He goes, I got $100 deductible. He goes, well, you should be thanking me. I just saved you $50. Just buy the guy a taillight. So, you know, that's kind of the way things were. And I miss the way things were. Yeah. You know, we miss that, Steve. Yeah. We never get to experience this stuff, you know?
Yeah. When I'm driving and you're working with the guys who've been doing it for a long time, and they just start telling you what it used to be like Randy Babel. Like, he would, like, we would start every morning at the same time together, 9:30-ish. And we're walking in, and he always say the same thing. Tony, this job used to be so much fun.
Used to be fun.
We used to
come here and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, everything changes. You know, the first time I met your dad, I was doing a delivery, probably within my first year at Pitt. And for whatever reason, he was there too. And it was like a storage, self-storage place or something. And we wound up talking for quite a while. And most of the conversation was him saying how I should hang out with his son, Jakey, sometime. That's what he would tell. He was telling me, I just remember like, he was like, I think you would be really good friends with my Jakey and this, that, and the other and stuff. And he was just telling me like always to hang out with you and stuff. And I was like, I don't know who this guy is. I think he skipped the part that was like, you know, Jake works at Pitt, Ohio too. Like, I was just like,
yeah.
Why does this guy want me to hang out with his son?
Oh, that's funny. No, he's the miserable guy in a forklift down there.
I was like, wait, that's your son?
My dad's whole demeanor, I wish to hell I could be like him, man. He's just doesn't kind. Get upset. I might be changing a little bit. I came a long way from my doc days.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
I mean, you know that.
For sure.
But, his whole demeanor was just extra cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't get pissed. If there's a problem, we're just going to go to the problem and fix the problem.
That's awesome.
I mean, we have a lot of common, you know. I'm basically a clone of my dad, minus that part, you know, and I'm working on it. But, you know, Harleys, hot rods, anything with an engine, we're there. So naturally, we work on a lot of our own stuff, you know, equipment, Harleys and cars. And I remember putting engines in cars and whatever. And so if we're in the garage at home working on something and it's not going my way, I'm getting pissed or came into a problem, I get pissed. I start throwing shit or, you know, just get so mad. He goes, Jake, what the hell are you doing? He goes, look, you're going to get all bent out of shape. You're going to get all pissed off. And then what's that going to solve? We're still going to have a problem. So why don't we skip the getting pissed off part and just deal with the problem? Like, you don't get it, Dad. He's like, yeah, you're right. I don't get it. You know? And that was just his whole
that's
demeanor,
awesome.
Man. So that's I'm working on it.
You'll get there.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, you're definitely a lot more calm than you used to be.
I'll tell you, if I drove a truck the way I drove a forklift, I wouldn't have a license right now. I know that one. So something's changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, from what my experience of just seeing you make that transition with doc to driving and stuff, there's something about the doc that just you left that part of you on the, like part of you on the doc when you changed the jobs. Cause like, when we found out you were going to start driving, we're like, oh crap. Like Jake's,
you know what?
like, you know, and then, but you totally were like, not the Jake we were familiar with on the dock.
And that's what I've heard from multiple people. They say, oh, you ain't going to make it. Some of them will just flat out tell me, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. I'm like, you know, well, F you.
Screw you. You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I'm making it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I it's just, dude.
No accidents. I got a safe driving thing every year I've had it. So
that's awesome.
What the hell?
Worked out fine.
Right.
Yeah.
I just needed to get off the dock.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
And that's the thing. Like, I mean, like we didn't know you outside of Doc Jake.
Right.
And so we were just like, holy crap, he's gonna start driving.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Like I was like, he's going to be so mean to me. Like, I was like, he's going to come out here.
Yeah, I don't want that. What was I, really an asshole or what?
Yeah, you were I was like, you know, cause I knew you were going to have seniority driving after that year and a day. And I was like, man, once that year and a day is up, I don't know. He's going to be a nightmare to deal with. Cause some of the drivers that have a lot of seniority stuff, they whip that seniority around like crazy. It's like, oh my
God. Well, listen, I've never done that. I'm taking what you have because I want to do,
yeah,
you know,
right. Yeah.
it's just a bad thing. Whether I get there and my run's crap or not, whatever, it's a day, I'll take it. And so I've never done that, but in the sense of drivers whipping their seniority around, what you just said, that's the only thing we got anymore.
It is. For sure.
You know,
for sure.
It took everything the hell else away. I'm not talking about Pitt, Ohio as a company. I'm talking about trucking as in general.
Yep.
Yeah.
So at least don't touch that. It's all we got.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's everything.
Oh, it's yeah, for sure.
You know?
For sure. Yeah. I feared you a lot.
Don't do that.
I was just like, oh,
look at me now.
Like I wasn't like scared of you, like, oh my gosh, he's gonna beat me up kind of thing.
No.
But I was just like,
well,
I was just like, know, I don't know.
You do what you have to do.
I was just like, I don't know how this relationship's gonna work. Like, I was just like, because like we were so close in age, I was like, we're going to be working together for a long time. And he is just a really mean person.
That's terrible, man.
I think you're a nice guy.
Jake, thanks, you bro. Know, you know, you and anybody who knows you that listens to what I just said would probably say, yeah, I know what he's talking about. Because like, you just, I didn't know you outside of the doc, Jake. I like you now. I like you now a lot.
All right, man. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the show, Jake.
Yeah, no problem. pleasure being here.
Yeah.
No, but I think that I think trucking actually did you a lot of, I don't know, changed you, man.
Well, it changes your setting. Sometimes it's just the setting you're in, you know. And in a trucking business, in a, you know, trucking world, you get in the truck, and now you are your own person for the day,
right?
And that takes that changes things. It changes the dynamics of what you're doing. You're no longer, you know, around.
I'm, you know, I'll be honest. I hated it out there on the dock. And I felt like I was stuck there, and I was, you know, for a little bit. There were some, I could have gone driving earlier if I wasn't stupid in my younger years. So something held me up there for a while, and I had to wait for a little something to clear.
That's all right.
But hey, you know what? That was a chapter in my life, and yep. You learn from that as well. I mean, exactly. Not everything is, and it, in a sense, I'm glad I didn't drive at 21. Dude, I wasn't ready to drive a truck at 21.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wasn't. I'll admit that.
Right.
You know,
and the thing is, I mean, how many people really are?
Yeah,
you know, how many people are mature enough?
Now we're putting 18-year-olds in it.
18-year-olds behind the seat, yeah, yep. Behind the steering wheel. It's going to be scary.
Yep.
You know, but it just changes. I mean, the industry has changed as a whole. You know, it's not like you're saying about some of the older truck drivers there at, you know, Norristown. You know, it isn't as fun as it used to be. You know, there's so much more. I mean, you used to get in the truck and you were literally. You were the person.
Right.
It was you. It was you and the truck against the world.
Yeah.
Now it's you and the distance monitor on the front bumper, and it's the, it's all the stuff. And sometimes I feel like there's more distractions now than there ever was.
Yeah.
Don't use your phone. It's a distraction. Well, you know what? So is everything else around me. So is everything else
that you put there for safety.
That for safety. Yeah. It becomes a distraction.
The lane buzzer, the front buzzer, this and that. And every time you're looking around, well, what the hell's, what's it saying to me now? You know, you're just looking, I have this thing under control. I know what I'm doing, but this thing's telling me otherwise, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. They removed that independence that you used to have.
Yep.
You know, in, you know, lack of a better word to make you safer.
I was talking to guys from other companies, you know, same LTL guys, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about how fun it used to be. You're talking to older guys. I mean, there's some people that say like, yeah, we all used to meet together in the morning or afternoon. Yeah. And, you know, we see where each other are going. Oh yeah, I'm going here. I'll take that bill. Well, where are you going? I'm going right around the car. Well, give me that. Give him this. And they'd be swapping bills, swapping freight, get empty, like, immediately, go shoot a game of pool, have a beer, and then come back. It's like, what?
Yeah.
you guys did this shit, you know?
Yeah, it was like, you know, the trailer might have said Pitt, Ohio, but it was Ward, Yellow, Pitt, Ohio.
All worked together. Yeah. I mean, and you used to know people. You'd see people. You know, you'd see other truck drivers. You know, you'd see other companies when you're at a stop. You know, now it's, you know...
Yep.
It just kind of lost that camaraderie. I mean, there's still guys that talk, but
there's still guys that talk. But I mean, before I'm sure it was more of a brotherhood.
It was, and it was the same way at night. You know? With the CBs, hardly anybody talks on the CB anymore.
Yeah, what's a CB? Guys.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, half these guys don't even run them. You know, which is why you see some of the things you see on YouTube. You know, with these wintertime accidents and crap. It's like, well, you know. You'd had your CB on, you'd heard somebody, you know, hopefully saying something to you. But, you know, that's a whole other aspect of the trucking industry that's gone.
Half the guys can't read English.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't know how much I should say here, but that's scary, man.
It is scary.
Scary.
Yeah, I mean, it should be something that I think should be required if you're going to be driving on these roads.
As a matter of fact, it's on Northeast Extension. For a while, they were doing the road work, and they still might be. I don't think it's ever going to be done. But anyway, you never knew. Every week, they wanted the trucks in a different lane. Trucks, buses, trailers, left lane. Trucks, buses, trailers, right lane. Every week, it was different.
Right.
I noticed one week, the signs went away, and there was just a big painting on the ground with a truck and a green circle
and
around it. And the left lane had a truck with a red circle and an arrow and a cross and through it.
Yep.
And I couldn't help but think, is this for the guys that can't read the sign? You know, it's like, well, that's scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they even had signs that lit up that way too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
It's nuts. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. You know, we don't read signs anymore. And half the guys even, they ignore it.
Yeah.
These are things that have changed in the industry. It's like people just do whatever they want to do.
Just whatever,
You know, in Allentown, they're doing work on 78. And, you know, in the construction zone, you know, trucks, all trucks, I mean, huge signs all along the whole thing. Yeah. Big lit up sign that says it. Lit up sign a mile before you get to the construction zone. No trucks in right lane. No trucks in right lane. No trucks in right lane.
Yep.
Where do some of these guys go? They get in the right hand lane. They just ride right hand lane. And you're just like, Did you miss all those signs and all the signs through here as we go through?
Yeah, it's just negligence. They don't care.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it's kind of frustrating, you know, because it paints all truck drivers as bad, even though it's not all truck drivers. The traveling public sees it as all truck drivers.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it gets you know, plastered on everybody.
Yep.
And it's frustrating. You know, just obey the laws. Read your signs.
That's whatever lane's going faster is what I got to be in.
Exactly.
That's the whole nation as a whole, it seems like. You know, we want to get there. We want to get there now.
Yes.
You know?
And you're in my way. So.
You're in my way.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten flashed, you know, headlights behind me. I've gotten middle fingers from somebody. I was, you know, coming up a hill. Guy's getting off the ramp. And he gives me, like, I was holding him up. I didn't even do anything. I'm just driving in the right-hand lane, doing my thing, minding my own business. Yep. He drives by me and gives me the finger. It's like, all right, dude, whatever. Happy, you know, have a good day. You know, that's just the nature of people. Everybody is in their own little world, and everybody has this fascination of, it's all about me.
It's all about me.
It's all about, I'm the only one here. This road is mine, and I'm the one who has to get to work. All you other people are just out here traveling around. Nobody else is going anywhere. It's just me. And that is how everybody drives.
It's insane.
It is insane. I hate rush hour. I hate the morning rush. People are just ridiculous. It's like if you had that as much enthusiasm on the job as you have getting to your job,
right?
We'd be in a lot better shape, and there would be no empty shelves.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, first of all, I've never been in a hurry to get to work.
No, me neither. That's what I mean. It's like, I don't get it.
So you see these guys flying to work and you're there for they're probably there for 8 hours. I'm there for 14. But anyway, you see them flying to work. It's like, dude, why?
Right.
Why? Yeah. You know? Right. And so I leave in enough time, like, and for the point of it, like I do the speed limit.
Yep.
And I'm on a couple 35 mile an hour roads that like should really be 45 or 50. Like 35 is like, even I'm like, okay, what the hell? But right. I do 35 because I left it enough time, and I just like to piss everyone off. Because I know, well, as soon as I get to work, I'm going to be pissing, people are going to be pissing me off. Right now, it's my turn.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is my nephew to the world.
I'm 35, coffee, radio's on. I'm just going to work. And these guys, I mean, a couple of people flashing you, high beaming you, everything, you know. It's like, what the hell is the rush?
Yeah, leave a little earlier.
Yeah.
That's always been my philosophy.
Right.
If you have to rush that much to get to work where you endanger everybody around you, leave a little earlier.
I've never been in a hurry to get to work.
Nope.
No. No, I totally understand that. I was never in a hurry to get to work, but I was always showing up late. So maybe I could have hurried a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Or left a little earlier.
No, I wasn't doing that.
That wasn't going to happen.
I wasn't doing that. No, I definitely made it a point to show up after 9:30. But I didn't rush.
There you go.
I didn't rush.
You go into work calm, cool, and collected.
Mm.
Well,
maybe.
You go into work anyway.
Yeah.
You made it there.
I made it there.
That's it.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah, that's like the worst feeling, right? I mean, driving to work and stuff. Can you imagine like giving yourself a heart attack at 6 o'clock in the morning because you're running behind and you just got to get there. Got to get to this job I freaking hate.
Yeah.
Like, just relax, you know?
But you know what? The insane part of that is that they do that same thing every day. It's not like they just happen to get up late today.
Oh, yeah.
They do it to themselves every day.
Yep.
And you're like,
it's just their part of life now.
15 minutes, just 15 minutes earlier. You know, I don't get that.
It's who they are as a person, and I'm judging you.
Exactly. that's funny.
Man. Well, let's wind this down.
Yeah.
Jake, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
And
it was a pleasure.
It was awesome.
We had a great time.
Took me a while to get my ass in gear and show up. I mean,
it's all right.
Actually, I made my first schedule, but, you know, always procrastinating. I'll come on, Tony. But no, it was fun, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, really. It was cool.
It's always nice having guys in from Pitt and just guys that I know and just sitting down and talking and stuff. So, all right. Well, that's the show, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and listening. If you want, though, go ahead and share the show. Right, Dan?
Share it. Share it with everybody you know. And we hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Until next week, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Oh, by the way, I just got over COVID, and that's why you heard me coughing. Like,
that's also why you haven't heard a fresh show in like 2 weeks. So. Yeah. Tony's had COVID.
Yeah, yeah. But I like, this is the most I've talked since I've had it. And it's a couple of times while I was talking, I could feel my voice starting to go, and I was like, crap. So hopefully the coughing did not distract too many people, but we'll try again next week.
There you go.
All right, guys. See you.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.